for this.
What is nothing?
Yeah, that's deep.
What in the fuck are we doing here?
Free socks. What is something?
That's deep, bro. Bros, welcome to That's Deep, Bro. Serious questions with silly people. I am your host, Christina Pajitsky. And this week's topic is the philosophy of futility, consumerism. Gets my feathers ruffled. Right? Don't you feel like we're constantly taken over by that stuff? Ugh. Consumerism. But before that, I have a few announcements to make. Firstly, if you live in the Los Angeles area, come see me do stand-up October 2nd at the Hollywood Improv. 8 p.m. show. I'm headlining it in Hollywood. I'm super excited about that. October 2nd. It's coming up quick, so get your tickets fast. Improv.com. Also on my website, thousandranch.com. There's a link to the tickets. You can buy them there. October 29th, I'm at the Brea Improv. One night only. 8 p.m. show as well in Brea, California. Same deal. Go to my website, thousandranch.com, for links to tickets. Also, this Saturday, September 26th, my jeans machine, Tommy Segura, and I are doing Your Mom's House Live at the Ice House in Pasadena, 8 o'clock show in the main room, because the show is just a beast. And I hope there's still tickets left. I'm not sure, actually, if there are even. But I would love if you could join us. It's so much fun. That live show, man, Your Mom's House is nuts. Also, I have a special announcement from my buddies over at the Partially Examine Life podcast. If you haven't heard me discuss the Partially Examine Life, this is a show I absolutely recommend for anybody interested in philosophy. And by that, I mean like real philosophy, like book reading, book learning stuff. These guys, Dylan Casey, Mark Linsenmeyer, Seth Paskin, and Wes Alwyn, these guys have advanced degrees in philosophy, and they read the texts that most of us do not have time to read, but they read them in school, and they're so kind enough to go over them in great detail and explain them to normal people like you and me. Who the hell has time to read Heidegger? Well, these guys did, and they're going to explain it to you. So they have an event in Pittsburgh, September 26th as well, live Partially Examine Life. So if you're in the Pittsburgh area, check it out. Go to their website, partiallyexaminelife.com, to learn more about that. And those are announcements. Sattva Mattress Company. You've heard me talk about them. Why? Because I actually sleep on a Sattva bed. And no, they didn't give it to me for free. I sought them out when we were looking for a king-size mattress that wasn't $1 million. And I ordered the Sattva mattress, sight unseen, which I know is daunting in this era, but you know what? They have a great policy. If you don't like it, just return it. It's not that serious. And they even take away your old mattress for a nominal fee. Customer service is outstanding. Within seconds of ordering this thing online, I got a phone call from somebody who walked me through the process, and I felt like a baby in their arms. And not only that, I tell you, my mattress is so high quality. It has the coiling system is advanced. It doesn't smell all weird and plasticky because it's made of organic cotton. That's right. Check it out. SattvaMattress.com. The word Sattva, S-A-A-T-V-A, mattress.com. And give it, we did luxury firm. I can't recommend it enough. It's changed our lives. Why are you sleeping on that dirty dog bed? I know you have one. I know you got a crummy old bed that you're dying to replace. Do it today. SattvaMattress.com. Thank you. Also, That's Deep Bro is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform. Sites look professionally designed regardless of your skill level with no coding required. I built That'sDeepBroPodcast.com with my own little paws using Squarespace, and it was so easy, I assure you. I mean, I've used other websites to build a site, and they're terrible compared to Squarespace, because Squarespace is just intuitive. There's no weird things that don't make sense. And they have state-of-the-art technology powering your site to ensure security and stability. Squarespace is trusted by millions of people, and some of the most respected brands in the world use Squarespace. And the best part, it starts at $8 a month, guys. And you get a free domain if you sign up for a year. I mean, you can't beat it. And if you have a business and you don't have a website, why? Why aren't you? Please, just build it. If you sell anything, if you do anything that you want people to know about, you need a website. It makes me crazy when I know comedians and I want to recommend them for something and I go, what's your website?
I don't have one.
How do you not have a website in this day and age? Anyway, start your free trial today. No credit card required at squarespace.com. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code BRO to get 10% off your first purchase. That's squarespace.com. Use offer code BRO. Squarespace, build it beautiful. There you go. Commercials. Also, just as a favor, if you use Amazon, I hope you do, please use my banner to do your shopping on thatsdbropodcast.com. You click on my banner on my homepage and you do your shopping as you normally would, and that kicks back a few pennies to the show.
To the show.
Gosh, it's a lot of announcements, right? What is going on today? What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you on the internet? Are you buying stuff today? After I do my commercials for my show, I'm going to talk about the topic today of consumerism. I feel like it's unavoidable. It's inescapable. You can't get away from it, at least if you live in the United States of America. Everything is overly commodified to the point where it's, even if something's awesome, they manage to ruin it by commodifying the crap out of it. Oh man.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working no more. I'm take this job and shove it. I ain't working no more.
Welcome to Costco. I love you. Welcome to Costco. I love you. Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Here.
That, of course, was from one of my all-time favorite movies, Idiocracy. It was a movie that Mike Judge did, I don't know how many years ago now, and it is, without question, one of the funniest comedies I have ever seen. One of the most brilliant comedies, one of the most forward-thinking and eerily prophetic comedies ever. I please watch Idiocracy tonight if you haven't seen it. and the irony of that movie is that Mike Judge made it, and he makes fun of Costco, he makes fun of Starbucks and all these major brands. And when he tried to release it world, like, you know, in theaters, well, guess who had a cow over it? That's right. The advertisers, the Starbucks, the Costcos of the world. people that sponsor the entertainment business were very upset by the content of Idiocracy, that they're making fun of brands. And so Mike Judge had a hard time getting it into theaters. And that is why it's probably one of the hardest movies to find. Like, nobody, I mean, not hard to find now, but I'm saying, like, it kind of came and went because it wasn't plugged. It wasn't properly rolled out, and it sucks, because it really is one of the funniest movies ever. Luke Wilson, who's let's be honest, a little easy on the eyes, okay, he's so cute. Okay, all right. I could watch Luke Wilson take a dump. I absolutely love him and everything he does. Royal Tenenbaums, absolutely. I'd be his stepsister, I mean his adopted sister that he makes out with. He's really cute in that movie. He's cute in everything. I mean, there was a time when he got pudgy, but who doesn't get fat? And then he thinned out again. He looks hot. I saw him in the airport once. I almost dorked out, but too cool for that, guys. Come on, grow up. Too cool. Idiocracy. Watch that shit. So, okay, someone wrote in a long, long time ago asking me to do the philosophy of futility. And I thought, wow, that's a pretty cool topic. What is the philosophy of futility? Well, it's a phrase coined by a Columbia University marketing professor named Paul Nystrom. I think it's Nystrom, N-Y-S-T-R-O-M, or hopefully Nystrom, Nordstrom's, I don't know, to describe the disposition caused by the monotony of the new industrial age. I'm just reading this on Wikipedia, guys. Google it. Philosophy of futility. Nystrom observed the natural effect of the malaise, of this malaise, was seeking gratification found in frivolous things such as fashionable apparel and goods. Nystrom, this is back in 1938, this bro theorized that this human proclivity in the modern world could be manipulated to induce a vicious cycle of dissatisfaction and the desire for new consumer goods, thereby leading to increased sales of fashionable goods and services. Evil. Yeah. And isn't that what we're in? Isn't that what Mad Men, everybody loved that show? I tried getting into it, but I couldn't deal with the sexism. It made me bonkers. But wow, ain't that the truth? Aren't we enmeshed in some kind of evil cycle of crap you don't need? There's that part. And the advertising industry that tells you it started, they call them public relations, right? which really is just code for we've applied psychology to advertising, which we saw in Mad Men. And now we create needs in people and we use sex, which is a basic human drive to procreate. We tap into your insecurities as a man. Maybe your penis is too small. Maybe this car will give you a bigger peener. Tap into the insecurities of women. Are you kidding me? You're too fat. Your eyelashes are too tiny. Your hoo-ha needs to be sanitized. Your mouth smells like garbage. For Christ's sake, would you brush your damn teeth? Everything's wrong. Your hair isn't shiny enough. Your feet are too big. I don't know, bros. But that's the that's where we're gonna go today. And I got to tell you, I've never really been into buying stuff. I've always kind of had a punker, more of a, I don't know, scarcity mentality, because my parents were Eastern blockers, and I never grew up with a ton of crap. I couldn't participate in consumer culture because we were broke. Not that I'm a better person, just we were broke. I couldn't get a pair of Guess jeans when I was in seventh grade or Keds because we couldn't afford that shit. Okay, my mom took me to Payless and we got whatever the shit was at Payless and I got made fun of. And then I learned, guess what? I don't want to belong to consumer culture because I just can't. I couldn't. So, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, I'm a mixed bag about it, I'll be honest. Because some of the stuff I kind of like now that I'm an older yuppie and I can afford to buy crap, I kind of like crap, you know? I mean, pathetic as it may be, sometimes my husband and I make an afternoon of Crate and Barrel. Yeah, I said it. Sometimes I like to go look at bowls inside of bowls inside of bowls. Sometimes I get a thrill from finding the ultimate frying pan that meets all my needs, that is nonstick, the right size, that's going to last until my children need it, my grandchildren need it. I want the ultimate coffee press. I want organic. I want sheets that are, you know, 1,000,000,000 thread count, Egyptian cotton. Is that so wrong? Does that make me a shitty person because I'm participating in this consumer culture? Maybe. I'll tell you one thing, though. I'll tell you what. Now that I've got this bun in the oven, there's a thing called baby registry. Baby registry, what does that mean? It means it's time for me to put together a list of crap that my infant will need, and then I ask my friends to buy that crap for me. But you know what? I refuse to do it. I refuse to do it because, listen, I'm 39 years old. If I can't buy the stuff my kid needs by 39 years old, I probably shouldn't be having the kid. That's how I see it. I feel ridiculous asking people to buy my unborn baby stuff. That's just me though. You know, I don't malign anybody for doing it because it's expensive. It's a racket. It is a racket, this baby stuff now, man. I mean, look, they've been commodifying childhood since the 80s, probably a little bit, no, earlier, 60s, 70s. But man, once you have a kid, you ever heard of a store called Bye Bye Baby? It's basically, it's Bed Bath & Beyond. It's the same company that does that store, which is like overwhelming to say the least, and amazing at the same time, right? I mean, Bed Bath & Beyond, I get so excited when I go in there because the potential, the possibilities are endless. And it's wall-to-wall crap. I mean, they literally paste things up on the walls, up to the ceiling. So you can't even, like, I'm so overstimulated when I go in there and I just fucking love it. I love that there's 1,000 different smells that I can put on my body. And, you know, what are those called? Bath gels? You want a candle? Well, there's 5,000 candles. And each one smells slightly different. There's cinnamon, but then there's apple cinnamon. And then there's holiday cinnamon. And then there's cinnamon spice. They're all different, guys. This is not the same candle. You can't just have a candle. But this Bye Bye Baby, man, I had no idea. Like, I've never been around babies. I've never even changed a baby's diaper in my life. I don't know what to buy. I don't know what to buy. But I'll tell you something, man. I Google this stuff on the internet, like, what does a baby need? You wouldn't believe the crap that people tell you to buy. It's just endless list of shit I'm pretty sure you don't need. Anyways, I made a bare minimum list, and I went and I braced myself, and I went into Bye Bye Baby. And I went when I was a little hungry, which isn't a good idea because, I, you know, pregnancy hunger, man, that takes you over, and there's nothing you can do. I get so grumpy, I shut down. But I was so overwhelmed. Listen, just to buy a stroller. Remember what stroller, when I was, I know I sound like an old folk when I say this, but when I was a baby that needed a stroller, I saw, my parents took me to Europe when I was like 2 years old. We went to Switzerland and Hungary and all these places, and they put me in a stroller. There's pictures of me in a stroller that looks like two sticks and a hammock. That was it, bros. They stuck me in that, and that's what we rolled around Europe in. And now there's, I mean, there were at least, and I'm not even exaggerating, I would say 75 to 100 different strollers alone to choose from. I don't know what makes one stroller better over another. What the fuck do I know? I've never pushed a kid in a stroller. And then the stroller, but you need a car seat. You need a car seat, and it's got to be safe, because safety first. It's got to be the best car seat. You got to get the car seat. And what's the best one? What's the one the moms approve of? And there's a million car seats to choose from, and it costs a fortune, because you want your kid to be safe, don't you, asshole? Don't you love your kid, you piece of shit? Are you an unloving mother, you sicko? Of course not. So I got to buy the, you know, $500-$600 stroller with the car seat that comes in it and out of it, and it's got a handbrake on it, and it's got 500 wheels on it, and I can put my water bottles in it and Velcro. It's so depressing. It's the worst. It's so depressing. All the best is, and then I finally got all this crap, right? So I've finally accumulated all the crap I think I'm gonna need for this baby's life. You know what I'm saying? I got swaddlers, I got a crib, I got a theme for my nursery, because you have to have a theme, guys. You can't just have a nursery without some ridiculous cartoon animals all over everything. I have a theme. I have a rocker chair, whatever those, a swinging, don't call them rocking chairs anymore. They're called gliders. I got a glider because the woman told me at the store, because the baby's used to you going back and forth like that, not rocking. Oh, okay. I got the sheets. I got the changing table with the sheet on top of that. I got the thing. But every time some broad comes over and looks at my nursery, or I talk to another woman who's had children, she goes, well, did you find the ba-ba-ba? What about the ultimate baby swabbler? Do you have the rock-and-by swabbler up your poop deck? Do you have a... This is my favorite one that a family member recommended to me. She came over, she liked my nursery. She goes, oh, You know what you need? You need a baby wiper warmer. You have a baby wiper warmer? I'm like, what the fuck is it? What are you talking about? Well, baby wipes, when they come out of the container, they're cold. You don't want to wipe your son's weenus with a cold wipe, do you? You need to buy a warmer to warm it up. It took everything inside of me not to strangle her and throw the baby wipe box at her dumb fucking face, because you got to be kidding me, okay? Let me tell you something. My father was born during World War II in Germany, in a tiny little shitty town in Germany. And my grandmother and my grandfather were on the run. They were trying to get out of hairy territory. My grandmother gave birth to my father in a church in a shitty tiny little town in Germany. No doctors, no technology, no fetal monitors. I'm sure they didn't even have prenatal vitamins. No ultrasounds. Certainly no genetic panel testing that costs $8,000. By the way, if you want to get panel tested at 10 weeks, it's $8,000 that gets sent to your insurance company if you have insurance. I don't pay $8,000. But my grandmother gives birth to my father with a midwife. And then guess what? She gets pregnant again shortly after, and she walks from Germany to Hungary with my father in tow as a 3-year-old, and she's pregnant with my uncle. I'm pretty sure my Nana didn't have a baby wipe warmer when she was raising these two kids. I'm pretty sure they lived without the baby rockin' swaddler pack and play, okay? We did it. People, humans have been doing this crap for years. We don't need all this shit. But boy, oh boy, I mean, because I've never had a kid, I don't know what I need and what I don't need. I'm trying to pare it down. But there's so much bullshit. And you know, by the way, they've over-commodified everything. Everything sucks now. Everything, you can't even have a childhood without it being completely overly... Look, it starts even with McDonald's. I love McDonald's. Don't get me wrong. I love fast food. It's delicious. The marketing assholes have figured out that red and yellow are the colors that children respond to the most. And everything's over-salted and nice and sweet, too, at the same time. And you know what I'm saying? That's why McDonald's Coke tastes the best, right? It's got that perfect sugary to carbonation ratio. You can never get a bad Coke at McDonald's. And there's a reason. Because these evil corporate douchebags have orchestrated it to perfection. To perfection. But they've over-commodified. I think maybe my generation, actually the one before me, may have been the last one to not be completely marketed to. My generation is where I think it started. I think it's the 80s is when, I'll tell you actually what ruined children's cartoons and ruined childhood forever. Why kids are being marketed sugar cereals and all this crap. It starts with the animation industry, an industry I worked for many years. You want to know why cartoons suck it so bad right now? Do you want to know why there can never be anything as dope as, like, I don't know, what do we like, Thundercats or ridiculous shows that had just like no meaning, you know? they don't make shows for fun anymore. They make the shows to sell you the toys. And it's all because of those cocksucker Smurfs. You remember the Smurfs? Yeah, the Smurfs, 99 dudes and one female Smurf. That sexist piece of shit show, the Smurfs. One girl Smurf, by the way. And you know why I hate that fucking show? Because all the dudes had names like, you know, Brainy, Handy, I don't know, Hefty, Jokey, Greedy. Are these fucking Smurf names or Mexican gangbanger names? I don't know. But they all get identified, the males do, with an ability to do something. What does Smurfette do? I don't know. She's just the hot chick that gives everybody boners. She just brushes her hair and looks cute. She's the girl Smurf. That's her job. She's just the girl Smurf. Fuck the Smurfs. Smurfs can kiss my ass. So the Smurfs, what they figured out with is those stupid figurines that they made out of the Smurf cartoons. Remember those figurines? You could buy Jokey and Brainy and all of them. And they figured that, dude, they're not just selling you one Smurf. You want all the Smurfs, right? That's 100 Smurfs, 99 male Smurfs, sorry, and then the one female. But they really didn't have 99 Smurfs characters. But they sold you everything, plus Gargamel and his dumb cat. And that's how they figured out that they could generate a lot of money off the ancillary of these cartoons. And so what happened was, by the time I got around to writing for cartoons in the early 2000s, my job literally, this is so evil, I would sit at a desk and they would plunk down a toy in front of me and go, okay, write a show around this toy. I'm not even joking. And I remember one time, what were the stupidest toys? So Bratz was a big deal, the property Bratz. And so the company I was working for, Deke Entertainment, DIC, they're gone now, thankfully, plunked down the Troll dolls. Remember those Troll dolls from like the 60s? Well, they revamped them to compete with the Bratz. And so now the trolls with a Z, they're those ugly Troll dolls, but they're wearing like slutty girl clothes. Like they're sluts, basically. They're slut trolls. And they're like, you got to write a show around the trolls. It was the worst fucking thing I've ever done. It took months and months to write the pilot. And then I got fired for it because they're like, we want it edgy. And I wrote just what I liked. And then, and I got fired. And then I got rehired later to punch up the scripts because old white guys are the ones that actually write the cartoons. And they hired 50-year-old white men to write a show for tween girls. And guess what? 50-year-old white guys with, cell phone holsters and dad sneakers, white New Balance dad shoes and khakis are fucking lame and don't know what little girls are into. You know, at the time I was like 28 years old, so I was more in touch with youth. But I'm going to get your life on the Smurfs. So yeah, that was essentially what kind of fucked up children's stuff. And that's why it's not just SpongeBob SquarePants. It's SpongeBob the Sleepy Bag. It's SpongeBob the T-shirt. It's or whatever the show is now that the kids are into. It's never enough. It can't just be the TV show. You got to find a way. And that's how they create the characters, by the way. Depending on how the kids will respond to the toy. It's fucking evil. They have focus groups and they ask kids to play with the toys. And then if they like the toy, then that character gets to be in the cartoon. How evil is that? Yeah. Advertising, money. Same shit with television. If you're looking at TV and sitcoms and you're thinking to yourself, hey, why do these sitcoms suck? Why is everything spineless and meaningless and shitty? Remember shows like The Jeffersons? Remember shows like Sanford and Son? Wow. Red Fox? Wow. And his son, Lamont, and they lived in a junkyard? Remember Good Times? About black people? Like a show about real black people? All in the Family with Archie Bunker, the racist character? Like, what? Shit, even Three's Company, man. Even a show that was like Jack Tripper pretending to be gay to live with two single girls. Like, wow, that was challenging something on some level. But no, not now. Can't do it. Now it's the Big Bang Theory and How I Met Your Mother and sanitized dog shit shows, The Voice. American Idol is canceled now. But you know why? Because GE has to sell products during the show. It's advertisers that sponsor these shows. And if the show is in any way, if it has content that offends anybody, if it by chance marginalizes any part of the viewing audience, they can't get as much money for the commercials. And there you go. And the content of these shows suffers greatly because of the advertising, which is fucking depressing as somebody that works in show business. And I've experienced it. I've written on shows. I've pitched shows. It's the most spirit crushing shit you will ever experience. But that's why I love Netflix. I'm so excited about, the internet space, which is, they're doing amazing stuff. And I'm so happy Netflix is just crushing it with real shows that are challenging. You know, Orange is the New Black is awesome. You've got a cast of, quote unquote, unattractive people, with the exception of, Piper and her love interest. You've got fat lesbian characters, which is outstanding. Black people, wow, that look like black people. That's kind of weird too, to see. Actual gay people, a transgendered character on a show. It would never happen on a network like NBC or ABC or CBS. Why? Because some old lady in the Midwest is going to have a heart attack at the thought of viewing something that has an ounce of reality in it, and General Electric won't pay up. So there you go. So sponsor, give your money to people that make cool shit and fuck these guys. Okay, so there we go. That's my thing. But I digress. I get so fired up about the subject because, like, I just, it makes my a-hole pucker on so many levels, right? I mean, who hasn't been affected by consumerism? Who hasn't been made to feel like shit by a system that tells you you're ugly and that you need a bigger house? You need the house, the cars, the toys, the boat, the vacation home. You need it, man. You fucking need that. You need it, bro. You just need it. And you got to work hard to get it, by the way. It doesn't come easy. It doesn't come for free. So you got to work one job, two jobs, I don't know how many jobs, so that you can come home at the end of the night after your two jobs, watch television, and be told that you need more crap. So you got to go back to work the next day to go buy the crap that you now need. You seen Fight Club? Holy shit. Let's start a fight club, you guys. But I start like an ashram club. I don't know if I do fighting. The boys can fight. But I want to do like a... Yeah, let's do an ashram club. Here's Fight Club. This is probably the best fucking clip of the whole movie. Here we go, Fight Club.
I don't know. It's just when you buy furniture, you tell yourself, that's it. That's the last sofa I'm going to need. Whatever else happens, I've got that sofa problem handled. I had it all. I had a stereo that was very decent. A wardrobe that was getting very respectable. I was close to being complete. All gone.
All gone.
Do you know what a duvet is?
Comfort.
It's a blanket. Just a blanket. Now, why do guys like you and I know what a duvet is? Is this essential to our survival in the hunter-gatherer sense of the word? No. What are we then?
Consumers.
Right. We are consumers. We are byproducts of a lifestyle obsession. Murder, crime, poverty, these things don't concern me. What concerns me are celebrity magazines, television with 500 channels, some guy's name on my underwear. Rogaine, Viagra, Olestra.
Martha Stewart.
Martha's polishing the brass on the Titanic. It's all going down, man. I say never be complete. I say stop being perfect. I say let's evolve. Let the chips fall where they may. That's me, and I could be wrong. Maybe it's a terrible tragedy.
Nah, it's just stuff. It's not tragedy.
Well, you did lose a lot of versatile solutions for modern living.
No, that's me. Oh, my insurance is probably gonna cover. What?
The things you own end up owning you.
Yeah, Tyler Durden. Again, Brad Pitt. What a dog, right? He's such a dog. So hard to look at during that movie. I hate when he has his shirt off when he's fighting people. It's terrible. But yeah, what concerns me isn't poverty or crime or real shit. It's whether or not you have the duvet cover. And I'm guilty. I mean, I think this is we're in a regressive time with all this. I feel like there's very little backlash to the overwhelming amount of messages. I think the Kardashians exemplify what we're going through, and they're the ultimate consumers, right? They represent all the crap that's horrible, just horrible about our country. To be perfect, to constantly look amazing, you know, the eyelashes, the hair, the makeup, the clothes, the handbags. You need a $5 million handbag. You need a $5,000 handbag. You can't possibly just have a handbag. You know, I lived in a hotel once when I was filming a TV show like a year or two ago, and I lived in a hotel for about a month, and I don't know. I needed a purse, and I just didn't bring the right size. So I went to the hotel lobby, and I bought a bag that said LA on it, like a touristy bag. And I just used it as a handbag for about 3 or 4 months. And my husband, and I dropped it in the street one day. I dropped it in like a sewage drain type thing. And it was covered in filth and it started to smell like sewer. And my husband was like, what is that? What are you carrying? Like, it's my handbag, man. He's like, you look like a hobo. You look crazy. And he went out and bless his heart, he bought me a really nice handbag, like a fancy Michael Kors one. And it's so beautiful. Like, it's so beautiful. But I feel so guilty using it. And I only use it on special occasions. Like, if I have like an important meeting where I have to look like I'm successful, I bring out the Michael Kors bag. But the problem is I can't use it every day because I treat my bags like shit. Like, I just throw them on the ground and throw them whatever. And I'm afraid of my stuff getting stolen. You know what I mean? I'm afraid of like advertising that I have this nice handbag that people can steal. So he's right. The stuff you own ends up owning you. Like, I can't even take out the nice handbag because I'm terrified that somebody is going to jack me for it. I'd rather just have I carry a bag that I bought at the Gap for like $40. Who the fuck's going to steal my Gap purse, you know? You don't know what I got in there. I got all kinds of stuff. You don't know what I got. What? Okay, so I love commercials in the sense that they're so horrible. Here's my absolute favorite ads, by the way. I live for mascara ads. I think that they epitomize... Ready? Oh, hold on. Sorry, that was a little... I love mascara commercials for women because I think of all my problems as a modern day woman, of all my issues in the world, my eyelashes are one of the least. They're kind of low on the list of priorities and problems. My eyebrows, yeah, those are a problem. I maintain them. My hair is a problem for me. I get that maintained every few months too, but my eyelashes, no, but I love when they make it out to be like, it's the most amazing problem that needs to be solved. Here's one of my favorite commercials. Here you go.
Ready to transform your lashes?
Oh. 12 times more volume. L'Oreal's first two-step volume construction mascara. 1. Defining base for a scaffolding effect. 2. Breakthrough reservoir comb for extreme volume.
Wait, did you hear that? A breakthrough reservoir comb. It's got a two-part... I'm confused. Oh, everybody's looking at her lashes, guys. Oh, everybody's stopping and looking, and people are spilling their drinks. Oh my god, are those her eyelashes?
Volume. Shocking.
So great.
Dare to be daring. Dare because you're worth it.
Oh, because you're worth it. Did you hear that, by the way? Dare to be daring because you're worth it. So they're empowering women, guys. Dare to be daring, but in a safe way, in a way that says you're still in the program. You're still within your allotted amount of power. Assume power, but only the power to make your eyelashes darker by using this product. It's so fucking fantastic. It's my favorite. That's the problem with all this. It's total like horseshit empowerment. It's not like women. Guess what? They're going to shut down Planned Parenthood. Take to the streets and riot. Just fucking riot until you get your rights, because that would be real power, right? And this is my new favorite advertising campaign. This is with Matthew McConaughey, and it makes no sense. This is the advertising dollar that's the anti-dollar advertising. The anti-advertising campaigns are my favorite too, because they're still selling you. But these are a little more esoteric, and Matthew McConaughey's in them, and this is the fucking funniest thing ever. Okay, ready here. So this makes no sense. He's riding in the car. Matthew McConaughey's riding in the car. Okay.
I've been driving a Lincoln since long before anybody paid me to drive one. I didn't do it to be cool. I didn't do it to make a statement. I just liked it.
What? This is really weird. He's really intense. I just liked it. I've been driving. What? Please, at least go. I like it better when it's blatant, because at least I understand what's going on. But that, again, Matthew McConaughey is telling you, if he likes it, you should like it. You want to be like Matthew McConaughey? You want to have rock hard abs? You want girls to blow you every 10 steps? Here's another one. Makes no sense.
It's not about hugging trees.
Oh, okay.
It's not about being wasteful either. Balance.
Yeah. Wait, can I find it in a Lincoln? MKZ? Hybrid?
Or taking care of yourself takes care of more than just yourself.
What? Taking care of yourself.
That's a sweet spot.
Shit's too deep for me, bros. So these are the absurd Lincoln ads that megastar Matthew McConaughey. It's absurdity. I don't even understand what he's... Man. I'm so depressed. Here's a product I can get behind, though. I don't know if you guys have seen this one. I like this one. Hold on. Yeah. No, buy this product, though.
The following commercial has been modified for a mature audience.
Hi, I'm Bradley Michael Fartz. And my family's been in the
poop
business for over 30 years. That's why we invented
the poop tube.
The poop tube revolutionizes the
pooping experience.
It really works. Now you can stand up and
poop
like a man. No more standing in long lines to wait to take a poop. Did you ever have to take a
poop
at a family picnic? Now all you need is a poop tube and a trash can. And the poop tube is for kids, too. And now the tube smell is improved. It doesn't smell good, but it smells better than it used to. If you're like me, there's nothing more embarrassing than having to sit on a filthy toilet seat to take a
poop.
I'm BM Farts. My dad said I could sell the
poop tube.
My dad said I could sell the poop tube.
Great job.
The poop tube.
The following commercial
the poop
has been...
tube. That's obviously... it's Tim and Eric. It's not real. Tim and Eric, awesome show. Great job. The poop tube. I love how it addresses all your needs, right? It doesn't smell good, but it smells better than it used to. Don't you hate pooping? So, okay. Is consumerism all bad? Is it all bad? Look, the argument being that consumerism does... could mean jobs for people, right? I mean, you gotta support the economy, guys. Consumerism's good because it creates jobs, and retail jobs are needed to sell. You know, manufacturing is needed to make those products, and you need drivers to transport the goods. And all these jobs provide income to workers and create taxable income to provide other needed services to the consumer. Did that sound like an ad? It was. The more that's consumed, the greater the need for jobs. Okay, so that's the argument for consumerism, right? It's fantastic. We create all these jobs and America gets to be America. And, you know, unfortunately, and it's true. I think to some extent that's true. If we do it the right way, there are some companies that are sustainable and don't outsource their stuff to horrific sweatshops in Bangladesh. Because that's really the problem. Because to support consumerism, you need cheap products, right? And cheap products can't be manufactured in the U.S. because they're cheap. And we have a high standard of living, okay? And it costs more money. So they outsource these jobs, like I said, to people in poorer countries. And it can be a good thing. But a lot of times they don't pay them decent wages. And a lot of times their working conditions are so dangerous that... you know, they actually get killed in these buildings. I saw a documentary about fashion, you know, and I'm guilty. I shop at Forever 21. I shop at H&M because it's cheap. Unfortunately, the people who made... I'm wearing it right now, actually, as I'm looking down. The dude that made this worked in a super unsafe building, or the woman who made this worked in an unsafe building, and, you know, it's horrible. They get killed and stuff, and buildings that collapse. God damn it. I mean, look, the point is we live in a wealthy enough country that we can do all this stuff responsibly, don't we? I mean, can't we have clothing companies, and there are a handful. I looked it up after I saw. I don't remember their names now, but I'm, you know, lazy. There are companies that do create products in a fair way and don't kill people and pay people the wages they deserve and stuff. So it doesn't have to be all evil. We just have to do consumerism a bit more responsibly. And unfortunately, in the U.S., we don't give a shit. So there you go. What else? Okay. And there's a lot of waste to being a consumer society. You know, we spend so much money on consumer goods, money that could be spent on real people things, you know, like health or solving global issues. Is there a way out of the system of consumerism? Is there a way out? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, I try to minimize the amount of crap that I buy. I try to put myself in check, you know, because, you know, like sometimes you find yourself buying the same shit that you have already at home. You're like, I need a shirt. And you end up buying the same shirt that you have already because you're not enjoying the shirt that you have already. You know, I try not to, and I do wear the same crap over and over. If you know me, if you see me perform, even I wear the same shit over and over because I don't even like to think about dressing myself. Here's what I did this week. I didn't even tell you guys this. So I tried to be less wasteful, and I just, I decided to use two bowls and one plate and two cups, a mug and a regular cup, like mug for coffee and then a cup, and then like just three utensils all week. Cause I realized like I make a ton of mess. Like, why the fuck am I using plates like and just discarding them into the dishwasher? It's retarded. And I did it. I did it for like 5 days, and then I got super annoyed by the sixth day, and then I just gave up today. So I lasted for like a minute of just washing dishes and using the same one. I think you can avoid consumerism or at least minimize the messages that don't make sense by don't listen to everything, you know? And my husband makes fun of me because when we're watching a show and if it's not on the DVR, we usually watch DVR programs, but I don't listen to commercials. Of course I listen to the ones that put before this podcast. I mean, and you should listen to those too. But the ones after, I don't listen to ads, dude. I'll turn down the volume. If I'm listening to the radio, I turn down those ads too. Or I have SiriusXM in my car, so I fast forward. I refuse to be marketed to unless there's things that I really care about. I don't like being told what to like. Don't you fucking tell me what to like, bro. You hear me? And I do think there's some resistance to consumerism now. I see things like the tiny house movement. I don't know if you've caught this. These are people that instead of living in like a Winnebago, they live in a tiny home and they build these houses. They're like, you know, they're tiny. They're like 250 square feet or less or a little bit more, whatever, 500. And they're full houses and they have toilets and a little kitchen sink and then a tiny loft area. Sometimes you can sleep in. It's so freaking cool. It's a really interesting idea because you're kind of opting out of society in a way that you can move your tiny house. The idea being anywhere you want. You know, if you travel for work, it's a nice thing to have. You can put your tiny house, you know, on a lake somewhere and you can live off the grid, which is kind of neat. But from people in this community, I've heard that there's problems with owning a tiny home. You know, like why not just do an RV? Because it's like, okay, so here's the math of it. Let's say you spend $30,000 on your tiny house, like building one custom for you. You need a truck to tow it places. That's the problem. That's the thing they don't tell you on the TV show is that it costs like money to have a truck, to tow your tiny house. So let's say you're buying a new truck. That's $40,000 to $50,000. Oh God. Excuse me. Pregnancy upchuck. So now you're spending $40,000 to $50,000 on a truck to tow your goddamn cheap tiny house around. So it's like kind of more economical to do an RV. There's insurance. You have to pay for insurance. Tiny houses are much nicer than RVs. I understand that's why people like them. You know, they're wood. The finishes are much nicer than an RV. RVs are, you know, can be god-awful. Then there's the question of where to park your tiny house. You know, do you put it in a field? And if so, you're going to need electricity, which, you know, they have a little generator, I'm assuming. You have to dispose of waste. You need plumbing, sewage, sanitation stuff. You know, RV parks, they have all that. But I don't know how different it is to hook it up to a tiny house. There's not always plumbing in the tiny house, BTW. They don't, I don't know if they mentioned that on the show, but there's not always a lot of plumbing. So that's kind of the problem. And those lofts are so teeny freaking tiny. How do they hit their heads on the loft bed when they go to bed at night? I always feel really bad for them. So yeah, it's kind of a cool thing because you're off the grid a bit, and I always like that. But, you know, plus you got to live in a, you know, you got to sleep right next to where you shit. You don't want to do that, bros. And then there's this thing called freeganism, which I love people who try wacky stuff like this. Freeganism, it's for people who can, you can't. And I tell you, in the United States, there's so much waste. I mean, you could live off just the crap my house throws out. I know it. And if you've ever been to a really poor country, you see that a lot of people do, in fact, live off the waste of other people. You can live off the dumpster of almost any grocery store in the United States. So freeganism, they're essentially people that live off of the trash of others. They go and they dumpster dive to eat food. I think they just pick up trash and they reuse stuff. And it's totally, there's so much good crap that gets thrown out. But here's the problem with freeganism. I'm going to play you a little clip that I found of these two dirty Canadian hippies doing, they went on a dumpster dive. Hold on. Here they go. They're Canadian, I think.
Okay. So? We're at the Safeway dumpster right now.
Okay.
We're going to find some goodies, I think.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're dumpster diving right now.
All right.
Oh, it stinks.
Oh, it stinks, huh? Wow, dumpster
really,
stinks.
It really stinks.
Hmm. See, now that to me is deterrent number one from being a freaking dumpster diver, is that it fucking stinks. You know what I mean? I'll pay the extra. I'll pay the $2.50 for a box of cookies not to smell dumpster. How about that? Okay.
Oh, look at those cookies.
I know.
Look at the cookies covered in shit.
All the bread over there being wasted.
Look at all that food. Like, yeah. What? Seriously?
Should I go in?
Don't go in.
Look at that bread, though. It looks like perfect.
I know. Are you really jumping in there?
Well, I don't really see another way to get to it.
Look at that nasty chicken right there. Right?
See, that's the problem with dumpster diving, is that it's nasty. And I like how this guy makes his girlfriend go in for it, too. What a jerk. He's like, oh, look, he's taunting her. Like, look how good everything looks. Why don't you jump in there, honey? So, okay, these
it's
two.
Roasted
there.
Chicken.
All right.
That's...
Oh, okay, dry heaves.
How are those cookies bad?
I don't think they are. Should I grab a pack?
We can grab one pack and bring it home and try it.
Okay.
So these dirty hippies.
Are really diving in?
Her face when she dives in is amazing. So, okay. So they dumpster dive. They rescue these cookies out of the dumpster, this normal, you know, yupster couple, and they take them back to the house, and now...
Totally.
Here they go.
Sorry about that.
Sorry about that.
A boot. Ew. A bug.
Oh, they brought in bugs from the dumpster.
Oh, my God. Please don't kill them.
Shut up.
Got out of the dumpster. And sorry about the...
Okay, now they're going to eat them.
Oh, seriously? Want to try one?
Yeah, I'll watch you eat one first, though.
Again, he's like... She's like, do you want to try it? He goes, I'll watch you try it first, though. Cool guy. What a dick. So she's eating the cookie.
They're good? Really?
They're not good. The look on her face is like, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they're... These are great. No, you eat them.
They're so good. There's like 50 of these boxes in the dumpster.
No, there's not. Don't eat that. Oh, God. It's covered in trash juices. Ugh. I mean...
It's pretty good, actually. Yeah.
It's not pretty good. It's covered in filth. Guys, there's bacteria all over it.
All right, they're starving people in third world countries.
And yeah.
Here we are throwing good food away.
It's not good food. Those
angry,
are
actually.
Sugar cookies, asshole. Okay, so the thing is, the girls of the grocery store threw away some Halloween sugar cookies, and these two dirty hippies are eating it. And they're trying to convince me that it's tasty. It's not. Okay, see, that's the problem. Is that you don't want a dumpster dive, do you really? I mean, I get it. It's kind of a cool idea, but the problem is you actually have to go inside of a filthy dumpster to rescue some sugar cookies that the grocery store threw out, which I know they throw out stuff, you know, and with the expiration date, that's ridiculous. Like, you can't obviously eat them, but you have to rescue them first from a filthy dumpster. So that's not cool. And I know yogurt's good a week beyond the date and eggs too, but God damn it. It's too much work to be a freaking or a tiny houser, isn't it? Anyways, the point of the story is, can you escape consumerism? No. Can I? No. I can't. Do I have to participate in every fucking thing? No, of course not. You can use your discretion. You can recycle. You can be more conscientious about how you use the items that you do buy. And also, you know, you can spend, you can choose how to spend your time and your money. You know, like, there's that article that came out about how $75,000 is the income that would make a person happy, quote, happy. So you get your basic needs met, you have health care, you can take a vacation. And I think that sounds about right, right? I mean, how much more crap do you need? And also, they said that in that study that spending money on experiences is far more valuable than stuff. I tend to agree. I spend money on experiences, on trips and things that I'll remember and grow from. And there you go. But I do believe in having money. I'm not going to poo-poo money. I think anybody that says you don't need money is out of their minds, especially in this country where you have to pay for your own health care. You have to pay for everything. The government does not help you out here, unfortunately. So you got to work. You got to work hard a lot to kind of, especially in California, you know, our cost of living is pretty high, to have your basic needs met. But yeah, I like having money more than I liked not having it, because I grew up not having a ton, and then my early 20s were spent poor. And I absolutely hate when people say money can't buy happiness. I think that's the stupidest thing anybody's ever fucking said. Because it does. It absolutely buys happiness, but a very temporary form. And I think that's the key part to know, bros, is that it doesn't buy lasting, sustaining happiness. But I'll tell you what. I like eating in a nicer restaurant more than I like eating at McDonald's sometimes. Not all the time. I enjoy nice vacations. I like that stuff. I like all that stuff. There's nothing wrong with liking it. There's nothing wrong with liking money. But money is a spiritual thing in a weird way. It's kind of weird. Like, people that, you don't want to have a bad relationship with money either. You don't want to be like, oh, money sucks, it's stupid, because that's no good. Because that means you're gonna stay poor forever. You need to have a better relationship with money if that's how you think. Because a lot of times people get afraid of money and they rack up debt, credit card debt, consumer debt. And they don't have the balls to look at what's happening, and they just let the, they let the wound bleed. They bleed out money instead of just looking at the emotional realities behind why they're losing their money. Money's emotional. It's spiritual. It's kind of a gauge of how you're doing in your head, quite honestly. You know, if you're racking up a ton of consumer debt on credit, I knew a girl. When I graduated from college, who spent $18,000 on handbags, just handbags and clothing and, you know, bullshit, not survival, not groceries, not, and I understand racking up credit card debt to live. I've done that, but she spent it on dumb shit. And, you know, that's a symptom of a bigger mental problem, I think, an emotional problem. So how you see your money is kind of a litmus for how your mind is working, right? And also, what we buy defines us. Baudrillard, I discussed this in a previous episode, Jean Baudrillard's The Critique of a Political Economy of a Sign. People buy things to show that they belong to a group of people that identify that way. For instance, you buy a BMW because you want to belong to the group of people who also drive BMWs, right? Those people are sophisticated. Those people are... you know, supposedly classier than me, better looking than you and me. it's a way to identify yourself culturally, goods, branding, things like that. So there you go. When you think about what to buy, if you're a brand person, think about why that is. What do you like? What are you identifying with emotionally? That's really what that crap is. So there you go. Enjoy the shit you do have. I forget to do that sometimes. There's a few things that I own that I just cherish, ridiculous things that I own that I cherish. Before you run out and buy something, think, oh, do I have something like this already? Don't I own 10 shirts identical to this? Don't I have this crap? Yeah. Look at the crap you already have, bros. Enjoy the shit you already have. I think that's all I had for you. Let me make sure I'm not forgetting anything. I love this topic, and I'm glad this person wrote in asking me to do it because it's pretty fucking fun. It's pretty fun. Okay, I played you the poop tube. That was fun. We did Fight Club. That was fun. All right, hold on. Oh, I know what I wanted to do. American Psycho, one of them, also my favorite movies of all time. Patrick Bateman, the ultimate yuppie, is also, surprise, surprise, a raging sociopathic killer that murders prostitutes. it's no coincidence that the author of the book that movie's based on chose to put a murdering sociopath in the 80s, the most highly consumer, vapid, sort of empty decade of just mindless consuming and coke and just selfish behavior. So here's from American Psycho. Oh, I hate these. Here we go. More ads. Isn't that the best? You go to watch a YouTube clip and now you have to sit through another motherfuck ad. Okay, so I'm going to take you out with this Huey Lewis and the News Bros. All right, bros, stay deep.
You like Huey Lewis and the News?
They're okay.
Their early work was a little too new wave for my taste. But when Sports came out in 83, I think they really came into their own, commercially and artistically. The whole album has a clear, crisp sound and a new sheen of consummate professionalism that really gives the songs a big boost. He's been compared to Elvis Costello, but I think Huey has a far more bitter, cynical sense of humor.
Hey, Albert Stram.
Yes, Alan?
Why are there copies of the Styles section all over the place? Do you have a dog? A little chow or something?
No, Alan.
Is that a raincoat?
Yes, it is. In 87, Huey released this. Four, their most accomplished album. I think their undisputed masterpiece is Hip to Be Square. A song so catchy, most people probably don't listen to the lyrics. But they should, because it's not just about the pleasures of conformity and the importance of trends. It's also a personal statement about the band itself. Hey, Paul!
Now what? I don't know. Philosophize with it.
It's Christina P, a.k.a. Miss Jeans. This ain't your mom's house. It's a different theme. Gotta be critically thinking. Like you caught up at a cocktail party. Our thoughts start to sink in. John Locke. Or was it Socrates? Aristotle or Plato? Maybe Hippocrates? Got us talking all properly, topically. Just a comedian discussing these philosophies. Serious questions, silly people. What's that? That's deep, bro.
It is the ultimate metaphor for life. And you know what that is?
What?
That's deep, bro. That's deep, bro. That's deep, bro.